Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Psalm 92, verse 5. The Bible says, O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. Deep means not superficial or obvious, hidden, secret. Roses, roots go deep. You can see that shadow of that microphone falls right on my thing. Thank you, Wyatt. Hope I don't knock it off of there. That's what usually happens. Roots go deep. And a good well is deep. The ocean is deep. We use that word to describe poverty. It's deep. Deep poverty is when you're really, really poor. A deep wound. I mean, does it need any explanation? It's not superficial. It's not on the surface. It's farther in too. It's hidden. Secret. Deep water. We know what that is. There's a difference in shallow water and deep water. Deep water kind of makes you back up, don't it? Yeah. There's a feeling you have about it that you don't have about shallow water. You go across a river or a creek or a bridge when the creek's up, and depends on how deep it is. That's what makes you decide whether to do it or not. Deep is an adjective that describes something that arrests our mind and feelings and awes us. The deep things of God. Bible talks about it here. We just read about it. I've heard preachers mock that and make fun of people wanting to know deeper things about God. Jack Hiles used to mock the deeper lifers. He said, there's no deeper life than the soul winning life. I've heard him say it over and over. But let me tell you something. You better dig deeper than the surface. If you want to know anything about God, you better get to it. You better get to digging. And you better look deep. Deeper than the surface. Deep is in contrast to shallow. Most people are shallow when it comes to God. That's what we're talking about tonight. I'm not talking about nothing else. We're talking about God. How well you know Him. How much you know about Him. Most people are very shallow when it comes to God. They're shallow in their understanding. Like, you know what that means? That means putting it all together. Understanding means an overall understanding. You see how this thing works. You see how this goes with this. Understanding is not knowing a bit here and a bit there and a bit over there. It's not a bunch of unrelated, random facts and things like that. No, understanding is when it begins to gel into a picture for you. Understanding. I made mention to it before to you about it's like a jigsaw puzzle. When you start out, you can't hardly find nothing but the corners and the side pieces. And you look and you look, and every time you find a piece, you can see it a little better. And the farther you go, you start seeing the picture. Of what it's, and then it's easier to pick up the pieces to fill in. The farther you go, the less pieces there are to choose from, and the easier it is to find another piece to go in. And that's exactly how it works with God. You start out knowing nothing. You start out just having to find a piece here and a piece there. And what's obvious, where things that fit obviously. If a piece of a puzzle straight on the edge, you know it goes on the side. If it's a corner piece, two straight edges, you know it goes on the corner. No doubt. Well, it's those middle pieces that mess you up, though. They're hard to find. Hard to find. Most people are shallow in their understanding of God. They know little bits and pieces. They know things they've heard people say that they've heard somebody said that was in the Bible. They know things, they think they know things that people have imagined about God, or that they imagine about God, or just according to their own opinions and senses of justice and sense of right and wrong. they think God ought to be like this. That's what they think they know about God. That's not deep things. Not at all. Shallow in knowledge. Most people just don't know nothing about the Bible and about God. If you don't know anything about the Bible, you don't know anything about God. Amen. You got to know this book in order to know Him. Amen. You don't know God unless you know the Word of God. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes. You can't know God without faith. He that cometh to Him must believe that He is. Yes. You can't come to God guessing and supposing and saying, well, I'll try this and see if it'll work. Well, that ain't no deal. You ain't going to shack with Jesus. He don't do that. You're going to marry Him. You're going to commit to Him forever. Amen. Before you're ever going to know Him.
Yes, sir.
And so they're shallow in knowledge, most people are, and in understanding. They're shallow in relationships. Oh, my. It's a shame. People can live together for a lifetime, really not even know each other still. Ain't that something? It's amazing that it can be that way, but it most certainly is that way. You can live next door to somebody all your life, never know them. Oh, you know their name, you know their family and their kids, and you know some things about them, but never know them. You can be real close. You can know your children, but not really know them. Same with the children toward the parents. They can live with them and not really know them. Because they don't look deep. They don't dig deep. They're not looking for anything except what's obvious, what's on the surface, what they want, what they need right now. That's all they want from them. That's all they need them for. That's all they're interested in. But as life goes on, life dishes you out some things where you need more than that from them. Same way with other people, same way from God. You need, and I'm telling you, to face the things that life's going to dish out to you, you better know God ahead of time.
Amen.
And be prepared. That's how you're prepared, knowing God ahead of time. And knowing the deeper things of God, knowing Him in a deeper way. What is a relationship? Parents and children, husband and wife, members of the same church, members of the same family even. What is this relationship where you don't really know one another except for... You just see each other like trees walking. Blame and aggravated and, you know, fussing at each other, but not really ever knowing any of the secrets of one another's hearts. Say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the deep things of God. Hey, no wonder we don't know God because we don't know each other. Takes some people a long time. Some people never find it. Some people live together and they die and never know one another. Shallow in their concern for and their view of other people. Shallow in their concern for other people. Shallow in their view of other people. Never looking at other people, as souls, as anything. Don't you ever look at people and wonder? I mean, I do. I sure do. I've lived long enough to figure it out. Living a life is what makes somebody what they are. And when you see people older, and you notice some of their traits about them, I think about things. I know, here's what I've learned. I've learned that if there is anything to anybody, when they get old, they paid for it. And they paid for it in ways that you don't know about. And it would serve you and me well to look deeper into people and to realize that. Instead of being so self-centered and so focused on ourselves and our own needs and wants and everything else and interests, look at other people. You know, the deal that they used to do on the CBS, of all the deals, but they did that thing years ago and it was really neat. I didn't see it on the TV. I seen it on YouTube or wherever. They had it for a long time, but you can still see them. But it was called Everybody Has a Story. Remember that? Yeah, how many of you seen any of them? Well, a guy'd go to a town, just at random. He'd throw a dart over his shoulder at a dartboard, and it was a map. And wherever that dart landed, they would go to that town. He'd go to a phone booth, don't have them anymore, but he'd go and find a phone book, and he would just flip through the pages and put his finger in where, and find somebody random like that and call them and ask them if he could come and talk to them. Well, a lot of them would cuss him out and everything else, but finally somebody would say, yeah, go ahead and come out here. So he'd go talk, and he found some of the absolutely neatest stories and people. It always just kind of shook your heart because everybody has a story. And that's not other people in other places. That's everybody that you know right around you. What about your God in heaven? Oh, he has a story too. And you ought to want to know his story. You ought to want to know all about him. You ought to want to know things about him that most other people don't know. But it's not going to happen unless you seek for him with all of your heart. Search for him with all of your heart. He said you'll find me if you search for me with all your heart. You got to get to know him. You got to try. It's that way with everybody. Nobody just, except a real dumb person, just spills their heart and everything to somebody. I've met a few that do. As soon as you meet them, man, they just want to tell you everything about their most secret life. And I know, something wrong there. You can't, that's trash. That ain't gold. You don't want to hear that. That was too easy to get. Yeah. Nothing of much value is found in the shallows. Most people only have what is lying around on the surface that anybody can pick up. That's all most people have in their knowledge and understanding of God. Do you know more than most people know? Or do you just know the same old things about God that everybody else knows? Deep means profound. Intellectually deep. That enters deeply into subjects, not superficial or obvious to the mind as a profound investigation. You got to search to find things out. To find real treasure, you got to dig. And you got to dig deep to find the real treasure. Amen. It's just not laying on top of the ground. There have been people sniffing around on top of the ground for years and hundreds of years, and they done found it all. Just laying on top of the ground. To find real treasure, you got to dig. Now, to know another person, you have to look deeper than the surface that everybody else sees. Everybody's got an opinion they form of everybody. They do it quickly. They do it real shallow. It's what we've talked about before. Because it matters how you look, how you present yourself. The expression on your face. The way you look at other people. And all that stuff matters because people... Well, I don't care how much they cry, don't judge me. They're judging you. Everybody's judging everybody every minute, every time they meet them, every time they're looking at you, they're figuring you out and making a decision about whether you're worth dirt or not.
That's true.
That's true. Well, that's just the way it is. Right or wrong, I don't think it's right to do that. I think the older you get and the more wiser you get, the more understanding you get, the more knowledge of God you get, the less you'll be that way about people. I like to think that I'm a lot better in that than I used to be. Yes, sir. You got to look deeper into people. You see, you need to see all men clearly, not just men as trees walking. Things. You need to see them as souls, as people, as a person, an individual, somebody that matters to God.
Amen.
And you need to see God that way too. You don't just need to think about God in heaven. There's God and this visualization in your mind, your imagination of something, what he looks like and all that. Or looking to a picture on the wall or a statue. That's idolatry.
Yeah. Amen.
You need to know God. He's a living being. He created us. He's wonderful. The more you get to know him, the more you'll want to know about him. But I'd sure hate to live my life and not know any more about him than most everybody else knows. that don't ever dig, that don't ever look. You know, it's a dirty, rotten shame. How are we going to know God when most people don't even look at their Bible?
Yeah.
Never do. Never do. Most people come to church now and they won't even open their Bible when the preacher gives the scripture to open to. They sit there. Too lazy to even open a Bible and look for a verse to read along with somebody else. You ain't never going to know God. You ain't never going to know God like that. Mercy. If you got any desire to know God, it ought to be your desire every time you get a chance, every time you're alone, you ought to be wanting to open that book and look a little more. See what else I can find out about God. You ain't going to be prepared to meet Him if you don't. To know God, you have to know more about Him than what is common knowledge to everybody. Everybody knows God knows everything and sees everything. Everybody knows God created all things. Everybody knows anything about God knows that. He created all things. Big deal. If that's all you know, what are you... Everybody knows that. God loves you. Well, ain't that wonderful? Yes, He does. It's a good thing to know that God loves you. If it ever does really reach through to your soul and become a reality to you that Jesus loves me. Me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. If that ever becomes real to you, it'll be a wonderful thing. But what it'll do is it'll provoke you to know more about Him.
Yes.
Amen. If He loves me. Boy, when people are sparking, that's they do, don't they? They want to know more. Yeah. Y'all know what sparking is, don't you? It's a real descriptive word of that the old timers used that told it just like it is. I mean, described it just like it is. Brother Owen was very diligent about keeping young people from sitting too close in church. He told him, he said, you sit too close and start touching the sparks. They sparks. That's right. Amen. Yeah. God loves you. Jesus died on a cross for our sins. All right? Do you know that? Well, of course you do. You've heard it and heard it and heard it. You think that's all you need to know? God loves you and Jesus died on this cross for your sins. Well, that's good. Now, let's go eat something. Come back to church next week and we'll tell you the same old thing. Yeah. I've had people tell me about the preacher preaching the same message for 2 years. Every Sunday. It's pretty much the same message. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. What's the Bible talking about in Hebrews when it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us move on. Deeper things. You know more about, more about Jesus. That song we'd sing. More about Jesus would I know. Do you feel that way? You think you know all you need to know? I mean, He died on the cross. He rose again. Hallelujah. He's coming again. There's more to know than that. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross. God is in heaven. Yeah, well, those are things that are shallow. Those are things that are basic knowledge of God. There's no real... Those are not the deep things of God. Those are just common knowledge. Those are common knowledge. Basic things. Now, the deep things of God, the Bible tells us here in this verse we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, the deep things of God are revealed by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, John chapter 16, verse 13 says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now, the Spirit in us leads us to search. That's why that I really believe when a person gets saved, you won't have to kick them and push them and beg them and shame them and bribe them and do everything in the world to get them to read their Bible, to get them to come to church, to get them to do anything. You won't have to do that. You don't. If you have a new baby at home, you do not have to set your clock so you'll remember to feed them. They'll let you know. They will not. You will not have any peace until you give them something to eat. And it's got to be the right thing, too. And I believe it's that way with when a person gets saved. You ain't going to have to drag them and push and plead and pull and burdened with just barely dragging them along. No, you ain't going to have to cram the Word of God down their throat by force. You ain't going to have to trick them into listening to you. You ain't going to have to entertain them to get them to church so they'll hear, so you can slip a little bit of it in on them. No, it's all a bunch of baloney. When somebody really gets saved, they got an appetite. They will search. Yes, sir. They'll be after us. The Spirit in us leads us to search. When He has come, He will guide you into all truth. Well, now, that means He don't do nothing. The Spirit of God that lives in us, the Holy Spirit that indwells us when we're saved, He don't just sit down and be quiet. If He's in there bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, He's going to be prompting you to dig and to search. You're going to have an appetite. I can't imagine saying, well, yeah, I got saved last week, but I ain't coming this week. I got something else to do. And, you know, I don't need that much. I'll bet you eat more than once a week.
Amen.
I bet you do. But if you got rationed on your physical food, boy, you could tell it real quick, couldn't you? That old boy in the prison we was talking about, they brought him a little bowl of nasty broth that he couldn't even swallow every other day. That's what he got to. That was his food every other day. He's hungry. Hungry. How in the world could you go without having spiritual food? How in the world could you go without learning more about God as you go? I couldn't live on what I knew 35 years ago. I couldn't live. I wouldn't be alive. If that's all I had was old stale bread. No, you need manna every day to keep your soul a-going. And that manna is finding out more about God. He directs us as we search with an honest heart. And most people search, what little searching they do, it's for selfish reasons. They got some need that they need God for. Boy, it's a little frustrating to me. It's a little offensive to me. When nobody has a word to say about God, but all I can talk about is ball games and fishing trips and fun vacations and all the hoopla in their life and the foolishness and all of their artificial wisdom they get from the world. I told her the other night, looking at Facebook, I said, I've had all the inspirational quotes and wisdom that I can stand. I'm done with it. But, searching, He directs us to search with an honest heart, to know God. Oh, Paul said, oh, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings and being made conformable even unto His death, he talked about on a few verses down there. Just wanted to know Him, know Him better, learn more about Him. He directs us if we're searching with an honest heart. If we're searching for selfish reasons, we're liable to get deceived. We're liable to swallow the bait of the devil. He directs us as we search with a true motive to know God, not to boast in the abundance of the revelation. That's why Paul had the thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted through the abundance of revelation. God gave him something to humble him down.
Amen.
We don't search to know about God so we can tell everybody else how much we know about God. So everybody will look at us with awe and say, oh my, there's a person that knows about God. No, that's not. You'll never know God, the deep things of God, unless you have a humble attitude about it. And let me tell you something. The people that do know things about God, you got to pry it out of them. They're not going to spill it on you.
Amen.
Don't cast your pearls before swine, Jesus said. And they've learned that lesson well.
Amen.
There's things, you know, I've told you before. There's things that I know that I don't say to nobody. God's done things for me that I don't tell people about. Say, well, that ain't... No, if it's a right time, the Spirit of God says, tell them, I'd tell them. But otherwise... it's a waste of time.
Yes,
fall on deaf ears. They'd even mock at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trample it under their feet like a bunch of hogs. Yeah, do wood pearls if you throw them before them. The searching is an intimate search, not superficial. Psalm 139, verse 1. I remember old Brother Shearer up there at Victory years ago. This is his favorite psalm. I remember him reading this and just crying. This is his favorite. He said to the chief musician, a psalm of David, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. So see, the psalmist David saying to God, you've searched me and known me. He said, you know my down sittings and my uprisings. You know my thoughts afar off. There's nowhere I could ever go out of your presence. If I had to ascend up to the heavens, thou art there. If I go to the lowest hell, behold, thou art there. So God knew David. That's what he's saying. You know me because you've searched me completely.
Amen.
Now the thing is, search for God the same way. You know that verse where it says, for then we'll be known even as we are known? And people get that all wrong. Somehow they twist that around to understand that we're all going to know each other in heaven. Well, it ain't even talking about nothing like that whatsoever. We're going to know God as we are known of Him. Think about that.
Wow.
He knows everything about me and you. And I will be able to know that about Him. Yeah. Now we see through a glass darkly. Now we only know in part, but we can know a whole lot more than we know right now and a whole lot more than most people know. That's right.
Amen.
The deep things of God, He reveals them through His Spirit. His Spirit revealing to us. Now, and you got to search. It's a search in order to know God and to know about Him. What are the deep things of God? And I ain't going to be long here. What are the deep things of God? Well, there's a lot more to know about God than just the simple, obvious things that everybody else knows. Nobody's ever found out, this side of heaven, all there is to know about God. This book right here is proof positive of that. You can spend, if you live 100 years, and every day of your life you read this book and study it, you will not exhaust it. But by the time you get ready to die, it'll be richer and fuller than you've ever known it in all of those years. You cannot exhaust it. You can read it over and over and over, and it ain't a storybook. It's not just a bunch of Bible Sunday school lessons and stories like that. When you've heard it once, you've heard it, you know, that's it.
No,
it is not like that at all. I've found it to be amazing. I've read it for 40-some years here. And every time I go through some of the most familiar parts, I just still come out with a whole basket full of new stuff that I never got before. And God is that way. See? You think you know Him. You think you know about all you can find out about Him. I mean, He's God. He's in heaven. Yeah, yeah. Son named Jesus, Holy Spirit, yeah. He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's all powerful, He's sovereign. We know all that stuff. You're just knowing stuff about Him like that, saying, don't you want to know some deep things about God? Things that are hidden, things that are not just obvious, that other people just walk right past, never even think about. Don't you want to know some things like that? I mean, don't you want to know Him that way? Have you ever known somebody for years and you didn't know some secret about them? And then you find out and then it just totally changes your whole feeling about them and attitude toward them. We were talking the other night. A guy I went to school with, lived here in town. His dad was a strange character. And I used to go to his house and I was a little bit afraid of him. I was suspicious of him because he acted so funny and wouldn't talk. And he just kind of lurked around and he'd speak to you. But he was just like, better watch him. Don't turn your back on him, you know, and that kind of thing. Oh, he was just strange. Something strange about him. Never knew of him doing anything bad. He didn't mistreat none of the kids or nothing like that. But he was just, I knew there was something more different about him than my. Well, he died here a few years ago, and when they took him to bury him, this friend of mine said that all of their whole family never did know until the funeral that he was one of the first Navy SEALs. He was on the first Navy SEAL team. And none of his family knew it. Nobody knew it. He didn't let them know. Well, that just enlightened everybody. All the feelings they had toward him just evaporated immediately. Now they understood. That explained everything. They could go back through the years and think of things he said, things he did, the way he acted. That explained it all. You see, a lot of people have these things against God because they don't understand why he did this and why he does that. And they've always got to say, why? I want an answer. Why? And you don't get an answer. Well, let me tell you something. The more you get to know God and the deeper things about God, the less you'll be asking why. The more you'll be willing to just trust him. The more you know him, the more you know his character and his heart and his mind. The more you'll be able to just lay all your burdens over on him. And relax in his care. Yeah. Better get to know him. That'll fix all the things that you can't overcome in your life. That'll take care of it. You need God. Everybody needs God. You need more of God. That'll take care of it. So get to digging. Get to searching. Let the Spirit guide you into all truth and into the deeper things of God. What are these deeper things? There's been people who knew far more about God than other people. And there's people living right now who know more about God than other people do. And it isn't necessarily the people who are in positions of leadership that know more about God. It is the people who are truly led by the Spirit of God. They're the ones who know God and know the deeper things of God. Just because a person's a leader in a church somewhere doesn't mean they know anything about God, let alone the deeper things of God. I've seen some of the most shallow professing Christians that I've ever known standing behind pulpits preaching to people and pastoring churches and going to the mission field and being evangelists and the whole thing. I've seen them. They don't know the first things about God, really. They just know the things that everybody else knows. And try to preach and lead and inspire. And all the people that know God better than others, well, they're just scattering around everywhere. Been in a lot of churches, and just about all the churches we were ever in, there was always, I could always spot a couple, at least. They're the quieter ones, usually. They're not the ones that are demanding the attention, that are putting on the show. That's not the ones that know about God. It's never been that way. You can look through the Old Testament, never was that way. Isaiah didn't have citywide campaigns. Elijah didn't either. When they needed to hear from God, they had to go find them. Sitting out on top of a hill somewhere, or out in the desert somewhere. God knew exactly where they was. That's why he knew exactly where Moses was when it was time to call him. Went right to him. He didn't go to some seminary somewhere. He didn't get him out of men's factories where they make preachers and stuff and leaders. He didn't get him there. None of them. He had never got any of them there. You'll not find them there either. Don't overlook them. Don't, in your shallowness and your carelessness with other people and with God, don't overlook what's the treasures that are right around you. Sometimes you go to a nursing home, find somebody laying in a bed, not able to even hardly move, and they can tell you more about God than you ever thought about.
Amen.
Yeah. The deep things of God include His thoughts towards you and I and other people. Don't you want to know what God thinks? Do you realize that you can know some of what God thinks? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Having the mind of Christ. Yeah. Well, what do you think that means? How in the world can we have the mind of Christ if we don't know how He thinks? You know how you think. You think you know how some other people think. Well, don't you even want to know how God thinks? What do you think He thinks? I mean, really, do you ever entertain that thought? You do about other people. Well, what does she think? What do they think? I reckon what he'll think. Don't know what everybody will think about this. Yeah. Do you ever wonder what God thinks? We look at our world and all the mess that's going on and like this abortion thing this week. Does it ever occur to you to think about, I wonder what God thinks about this? I mean, I honestly think about the mind of God as He looks down upon this mess. What do you think He thinks? Now, you can't just imagine it up. You can't just think, well, if I was God, I'd think, no. That's a bunch of nonsense. Look in the Word of God. You can see exactly what He thinks by going back there and reading what He thought and what He said when they were doing the same thing.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
And you can know just exactly what's going on the throne of heaven right now.
Amen.
Put you in a whole lot better position.
Yes.
While you're in this world.
Amen.
If you know what's going on in heaven as well as here on earth.
Yes.
To know what's going on in the mind of God. You know, even though we know in part. Even though we're looking through a glass darkly. I'd rather have it that way.
Yes.
I don't see very good. I can't see very good. And I hear people talking about, you know, they did this and they can see so much better. And you know, the kids used to be able to read a license plate 100 yards away. And they'd say, boy, I just can't hardly see. I can't even see the car the license plate's on. What are you? And you're talking about how... His plans and purposes for our lives and the lives of others. Deep things of God. That's one of them. I don't know what He's planned for your life. How in the world could I know what He's planned for your life? I don't even know what He planned for my life. Now, I don't know what His plans are in the future for my life. I know the basic. I just know which road to go on. That's what I know. I just know the road to stay on. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to jump out right around the next curve. But I'm on the right road. I know that much. So that's a help to me. His heart and His feelings, His pains and His joys. You ever think about God like that? Do you know God has feelings? Do you know God has a heart that hurts? I mean, we're so worried about all these snowflakes. I ain't, but I guess some people are. I couldn't care less about their feelings being hurt over the stupid stuff that they're claiming. Now, I wouldn't hurt anybody. And it does concern me, and I do care about hurting somebody's feelings. I wouldn't want to do that, but that's nonsense.
Yeah.
Hurt their feelings because they don't agree, because I said something they don't agree with?
Yeah.
Nonsense. God's got a heart. Wonder why anybody don't think about that. Ezekiel talked about, he quoted God in there. God said, he said, "For I am broken with your whorish ways, with your whorish heart." He said, "I'm broken. You've broken my heart." Jesus wept because of their unbelief. Because they wouldn't trust him. They just wouldn't believe him. He was just so troubled and so broken hearted by it that he wept from the hurt to his heart. He groaned within himself. Wept. I mean, you ever think about that? Do you care? I mean, if somebody else, you know, do you ever make your wife cry? And they cry. Well, did you ever make a little kid cry? Dorothy got upset the other night over something, and I mean, she's real tender. She just went around the corner and fell on the floor, and I mean, just boo-hoo-hoo. And she was going to leave the other day. I'll tell you what it was. Elizabeth come to the house, and she left him in the car because she was going to go to town or something, and she just stopped for something. She didn't want to get them all out and all that. Well, Dorothy thought that Terry said she didn't want to keep her, so she was just boo-hooing and crying. She said, "Mama don't want me." Well, that hurts your heart, don't it? You remember when Anna was little and you was yelling at her, Kim, and she said, "You're hurting my heart." Well, do you reckon it ever hurts God's heart? When you understand some of those deeper things of God, instead of just, he's a big Santa Claus up there. That just, he's there to help us when we're in trouble. That's what he's for. That's all you ever think about him. You never call on him unless you need him or you're in trouble. You never think about him. You ought to get up in the morning and say, the first thing you ought to do is say, "Thank you, Lord. And I can open my eyes this morning. I got another day to live here, maybe. Thank you for loving me, being so good to me. Praise your name." Most people don't give him a thought. They act as if he don't even exist until they're in trouble. And then it's on there, "Please pray. Please pray for me. Pray for my blah, blah, blah." Well, it's okay to ask for people to pray for you, but how about walking with God and knowing God and digging to know the deeper things of God so that you can pray for yourself? I've told you before, but I remember Brother Owen telling me, he said, you know, he was lost and so wicked, and their oldest boy was just 4 years old, and he had some kind of physical problem. They had to operate on him, and said that the doctors told him he might not survive this operation. And he said, "There I was." He said, "I never will forget how I felt." He said, "I couldn't pray. And I knew I couldn't." He said, "I knew people who could pray, but not me." It was just kind of a wake-up call to realize, man, you have made a mess of things here that you can't even call on God to help you. And you got to run to other people and ask them to pray for you. You can't know the deep things of God unless you stay close to Him. You want to know some of the deep things of God is His power and strength. People don't. That know Him in a shallow way, they don't understand that. They don't understand that. They don't realize that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. They don't understand, really, that He can speak a universe into existence. You know what the word universe means? You break it down, it means one word. Universe, one word. God just spoke it into existence. That's what it means. It's what the name of the universe That's what it means. His power. You ever look at these pictures where they're comparing the size of the earth to the sun, and then our sun to the next biggest star, and then that to the next biggest star, and how it just turns out we're just about the third level, the earth just disappears because it's so insignificant you can't even see it. And the sun is beyond our imagination. It's the size of it. And the stars are so distant, we can't even think about crossing. They're imagining that they're going to just Star Trek all over the universe, but they're not. They're dreaming. They're finding all these worlds that are alien life. They just put it on there all the time. God just spoke it into existence. He made the stars also. That little verse, that's what it says. He made all this. He made the stars also, it says, in one little parenthetical insertion there. The universe, just the way he did that too. His power. Well, it's beyond even words, don't even touch it. Our minds cannot even grasp it. Not even the least little bit. We stand in awe of some jet airplane or some rocket. Or some bomb that we can blow up something with. We just stand in awe of it and say, whoa, what power. A bulldozer. A truck. We just think, man, look at all that. And God is just so far beyond. Spurgeon, I think, said, we speak of power and the heavens laugh us to scorn. Yeah. The heavens declare the glory of God. All you got to do is just meditate on that a little bit. Look at a few verses and man, you know some deep things about God right there. You can learn to have a whole lot of reverence and fear for Him. Just knowing a little bit about that. Well, let me hurry up. His knowledge and wisdom. All knowledge, all wisdom comes from God. It's all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him, Jesus Christ. New Testament tells us. You know God in much the same way that you know other people. I've kind of touched on this already, but since most people are so shallow in their relationships, they may live around somebody a lifetime and never know the depths of that person and their soul. Sometimes you're surprised at your own children and what they're thinking. Often you are. Because you're not looking deep. You're not thinking deep. You don't understand that there's a whole ocean right there. And you're just looking at the top of it. See? You remember the little deal where Kent Hovind said he was flying over the Pacific Ocean with one of his friends. They was in an airplane. And he looked out the window and he said, boy, that's a big ocean. And he said, well, you're just looking at the top of it. Yeah? True. He thought, wow, that is true. I'm just seeing a little skin here. Not seeing any part of it. But that's the way we do with other people. There's all kinds of things about that person they don't know. And therefore, they don't really know them and who they are. Sometimes it's a surprise for the good. And sometimes it's a surprise for the bad. I wonder what happened to the pad out under this microphone. I noticed it's gone now. Oh, okay. Anyways, I just noticed that. Distracted me. There's all kinds of things that you don't know about a person. And sometimes you find out and it's a great disappointment to you. And sometimes it's a great encouragement to you. It makes you stand in awe. You'll never be disappointed in God finding out more about Him. You'll never say, oh, I wish I hadn't found that out. I sure thought a lot more of Him before I found that out. That ain't going to happen with God. No, the more you know Him, the more you're going to love Him. The more you're going to reverence Him. The more you're going to honor Him. Oh, my. Those who look at others like trees walking will not go. They're never going to know God intimately either. Because that's just the way it works. If you're that self-enclosed, that all you think is your little bubble and yourself and the whole world's there at my disposal. If you live in that kind of a realm, you're never going to know God. Other than just the basic facts about God like everybody else. If you don't know other people, if you're that way, where you're not interested in knowing other people, and you don't really care about knowing about them, then you're not going to care about knowing God. You can't love God and hate your brother. That's what the Bible says. That's right. You can't hate your brother that you have seen and love God that you haven't seen. Impossible to do that. Those who look at others like that, they just know. Most are so wrapped up in thinking about themselves that they never take time to look deeply into others, and so they never dig deep for God either. You realize, man, it says the brother who's made in the image of God. That same scripture I was just talking about, that's what he refers to. There's just this thing here, and I don't know if I can get it across to you or not, but knowing one another and having relationships that are deeper than just the shallow run-of-the-mill, everybody else is doing, it just goes hand in hand with having a closer relationship with God and a deeper relationship with God. You can't know God deeply, intimately, unless you know other people that way too. Because they're made in the image of God. How can you think like it? It can't work that way. If you're interested in God, you're going to be interested in other people. Yeah. If you're a seeker after God, you'll be a seeker after other people too. You won't just look at them as things. And you won't be disdaining them and counting them as junk because they offend you, because they aggravate you, because they hinder you or something, you know. Right. Amen. Yes, sir. Cultivate a habit of looking deep and digging deep. Get out of the shallows and learn what it is to possess treasures that are unknown to most people. You know, it's not something that people brag about, and I don't brag about it either. But I'm aware of the fact that I know some things about God that most people just don't. And I'm not, that's no credit to me. I'm just aware of that. I look around and I see, it's obvious. How could you know God and think like that and treat other people that way? How can you do that? Well, you couldn't if you knew what I found out. Done been down that road, too. Been that way. Passed by that way. I did. Learned some things. There's other people that know more than I do. But believe me, I know some people know more about God than I do. And that don't make me jealous. That don't make me aggravated at them. I don't look at them and think, no, you think you're something. Yeah, little. That ain't the way. That ain't the attitude at all. Never been that way. I've never resented somebody else knowing things I don't know. Makes me want to know them too. If they could find God, they can find that out and know that, then surely I can. Where's the Lord God of Elijah? Well, that's what Elisha said, isn't it? Did he find him? Oh, yes, he found the Lord God of Elijah. Moses' God is the same God I know. You ever think about that? I mean, really, just pare that down there and think. The God. We were reading this morning, again, in Exodus, where God, and I pointed it out to you when we were preaching there, but it had kind of faded out of my mind, too. And when we read it again, I thought, oh, my. God spoke the Ten Commandments to the people in an audible voice from the mountain. All the people heard God say, thou shalt have no other gods before me, all the way down through the whole thing. And when they heard it, they ran away. And they said, Moses, you talk to God, and then you come tell us what he said, but we don't want to talk to him. We'll die. Scared them to death. And then God reaffirmed it. He said, I have spoken to you today so that you'd know that I'm God. God spoke to the whole bunch, that whole unbelieving, wicked, rebellious bunch. They heard His voice. That's the same God that we're worshiping here tonight. Same God I pray to. Same God that has spoken to my heart. Same God that saved my soul. Same God that has taught me everything worth knowing. Same God. He is the same God. It's not a different God. It's thousands of years later, but God never changes. In your earthly relationships with others, cultivate a habit of looking deep. Know one another. Is that understandable? Everybody, you know, if you'd have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Be knowable. If somebody wants to know you, let them know you. Don't shut off. Don't build a wall around yourself. Don't you know what walls are immoral? But really, that they are a problem in the wrong place. And that's what people do. It destroys lives, marriages. I mean, it destroys churches. It destroys a lot of things when you put up a wall where it don't belong. Now, where it belongs is around both of you, around your family, around the church. Yes, there's walls that serve their purpose. And when you put up a wall between you and a loved one, a wall between you and a fellow Christian, and close yourself in, now that's damage. I've told you before, but I heard a preacher's wife say one time, said, nobody will ever get that close to me again. Oh, you can't do that. Can't do that. Put up a wall. But especially in your relationship with God, cultivate a habit of looking deep and seeking deep. They go together. You can't be shallow in one and deep in the other. Or deep in one and shallow in the other. I'm talking about knowing God, knowing people around you, your relationships with other people. Our relationship with God ought to influence the rest of our life, all of our relationship. Marriage ain't going to work unless it's patterned after God's. You know, your relationship with God is the pattern to live by in all respects of life. The more you know about God, don't just learn it and put it in a bank somewhere. You don't just store it in your memory banks. Well, I know this about God and I know that about God. No, it's given to us to put into practical use in our life. The more you know about God, the better your life will be here. Your relationships, your interaction with other people, with God as your pattern. He told Moses, he said, see that you build it according to the pattern I showed you in the mount. I showed you how to do it. Now you do it exactly like I said, like I showed you. Well, that applies right here. See, when you learn something about God, apply it in your life. You can learn about how to love other people by knowing how God loves. You can learn how to forgive other people by knowing how God forgives. It's the only way. That's what makes life worth living. Knowing God. I can't imagine. People live their life without God. I cannot imagine what it would be like. I can't. I'm removed. You know, I depend on Him way too much to even entertain the thought of living without Him. I mean that. Yeah, I do. I've learned a whole lot about Him. Most of it I learned the hard way. I was forced to dig because I had to. Old Rick goes out with these metal detector and finds things. Boy, it'd be fun. I'd like to do that. I got one. A good one. And it would really be fun to do that. Have time to do it. I got one. I got another head I can put on it. It's supposed to reach 21 feet in the ground. Well, now I ain't wanting to dig no hole 21 feet, though. And find a bottle cap some goofball dropped 150 years ago. No. But I'll never find no gold or anything worth anything with that kind of attitude, will I? We went out and tried it. I did it, really. I bought the thing to have fun with the kids when Esther and Elizabeth Daniels little and everything. Oh, they did have fun. But, you know, it was real fun at the first because they thought every beep that I said that sounded like one, it was going to be money. I think all together in all the years I've had it, I think I've found almost 30 cents. And probably 500 pull tabs and bottle caps and aluminum foil shreds and old hinges and pieces of metal and nobody knows what they are. Whole lot of digging. But you know, when you find a dime, oh, it's exciting. Dime? Wonder who dropped that there. What year is it? What in the world happened? How'd that get out here? Still exciting. Thrills you. Makes you want to go on and dig a little more. You got to find something once in a while to keep on a digging, or you get weary and quit. And God makes sure that you find. He said, if you search for me with all of your heart, you'll find me. And he does. He dropped. Our job is to search. And he'll make sure we find out. He'll drop handfuls of purpose. Oh, yeah. Don't you want to know more about God? Don't you want to know the people around you better? Don't you want to know what they really care about? What motivates them? What they love, you know. Don't you want to know? Sure help us a lot if we knew our kids better. If we knew their hearts, knew what was in their heart. Sure help us to deal with them better. It's good advice for young families. You better know your children. Better look deep. Dig deep there. Don't just look at them at face value. They learn real early how to deceive you. And just put on a front to show you what you want to see. Better be looking deep. All right, I'll quit. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth here tonight. Thank you for the fact that we can know some deeper things of God. And Lord, they're there for the getting if we'll just pay the price. If we'll look for you, search for you with all our heart, with an honest heart, with a right motive. You said we can know and we can find out things that other folks don't know. You give us the ability to help them in times of trouble also, and point them in the right direction. Make us better servants, better laborers in your vineyard, Lord. I pray you'd help us all have this desire to know you better. Pray everybody would read their Bible and get to know the Word of God and get understanding and get a deeper life about them instead of being so entangled in the world and the cares of life and the vanities around us. Lord, please help us that are here tonight to be come out from among them and be separate and belong to God. Please help us. Watch over us through the week here. Pray you'd work in lives. Help our country. Lord, have mercy on us. Help our leaders this week and do a work, Lord, and your people all over in Jesus' name. Amen.